WTY.com. America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, name of the show. As I said, ATN. We flip and go here like an overnight fast food drive-through window. You can definitely get in line and throw in your 2 cents. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-KATE. And boy, is there a lot to chime in on, without a doubt. The U.S. and whether or not the U.S. could outproduce Saudi Arabia or even Russia in oil and gas. I happen to see a headline about that. I'm going to go back to that in a second. But one of the big things on the day is what's going on with Syria and Russia, speaking of Russia. Russia is sending attack copters to Syria. Is this confusing or not confusing? What's happening with those thugs who are keeping Assad in the game? This has been 16 months nonstop, 9,000 people dead, and people looking to the United States as to, come on, are you going to get off the dime? What are you going to do? You got to jump in this, right? Hillary Clinton threw in her 2 cents on Russia, and Captain John Kirby talked about Syria and not letting Syria off the hook.
We have confronted the Russians about stopping their continued arms shipments to Syria.
I got the connection to Russia. And again, we're going to take the senator's concerns very seriously. But let's not let the Assad regime off the hook here. It's less important what they're buying than it is what they're doing with what they've got.
No, I disagree. It's less important what they're buying. Of course it's important what they're buying, because it's just continuing to arm them with all kinds of incredible weapons so that they can attack the people. That's what's happening here. So Russia is sending these helicopters to Assad's regime and then talking about how deadly this could all become. You heard Clinton saying that, you know, how concerned they are that this is going to escalate things even more. Well, no kidding is the word. I mean, really, you think? And what is Israel thinking about this? The Israeli president, Shimon Peres, said that we got to have some kind of a peaceful solution to Syria's conflict. You know, peace. Shimon, that is way gone. Peace is in the back seat somewhere, and the drivers are well down the road. There's no peaceful solution to this thing. It's not happening. This is going to be an all-out civil war, and everybody in the Middle East has a stake in this now, without a question. Is Iran going to get involved somehow? Is Turkey going to get involved in this fighting at some point? Forget this whole transition thing. I hate that word. Throw it out. Peace and transition, not happening here. We're talking about 4 decades of Assad. Assad gone wild. That's what's happened. Just shooting people in the head, slaughtering children in the streets. But as I say that, Russia dumps a lot of great weapons on the group because they have the money. They're paying for them. They're paying for them. What is going to happen sanction-wise that's going to isolate this government and make it impossible for them to carry out their military tasks? When you have an attack helicopter, they're armored, they can carry machine guns, they can carry, missiles, they can carry rockets and other weapons that can blow you off of your shoes. I mean, they're capable of firing at any of the targets on the ground. They can pick you off like you wouldn't believe. You know, that's the truth of it. So the Pentagon isn't blocking the Russian shipments to Syria. You just heard the naval captain, John Kirby, who's a spokesperson for the Pentagon, who accepts the argument that Moscow's resupplying of helicopters enables them to kill its own people. Mm-hmm. The key issue really is, what do you think they're doing with this material? I mean, come on. So not letting them off the hook, really? You think so? I think we're letting them off the hook by all of these attack helicopters being delivered. And these new tactics, the things that they're, how they're pushing and just blowing rockets and whatnot into houses. I mean, are you kidding me? What are the tougher sanctions? What's the tougher response? You know, Russia's enabling this Syrian repression. And why would they do that? Why would Russia be that involved with Syria? Hey, making a little coin on the side? No. Who's the big ally for Russia in this Middle East game? Begins with an I, ends with an N. That's a hint. Iran. So this is what they're doing. What are we doing to stop that? What's our interest in all of this? Well, I would say that now the ante has been upped by 10% because of the fact that Russia is squarely supplying stuff to Assad, like those helicopters, those guns. Oh, there's no question. Putin. Putin at this point, he wasn't there, remember, for the big meeting in Chicago. He wasn't there for that summit because he had to worry about some things that were happening in Russia. Now, he flings it in the face of anybody who's concerned about the civil war completely escalating in Syria. An interesting picture I saw today in the New York Times of a couple of the fighters for Assad. Boy, they have enough weapons that they could blow up a small town in Ohio with a blink of an eye, I'm telling you. So it's going to be much more of a bloodbath in Syria, I think, than anybody ever was led to believe. But ultimately, as I describe all of this for you, does it pull you into the plight of the people and saying, wow, we just got to do it. We've got to do whatever we can do. You have the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which is in England. They say that just the other day, 60 people had been killed in recent fighting, and very few were even soldiers. We're talking about really young children that were killed with anti-tank missiles and all this other stuff. So at this point, with this weapons transfer, the United States, not part of the arms shipments, by the way, to the rebels, what happens here now? Hey, the Russians are giving Assad weapons, and should we arm those rebels? What do we do? What are we going to do? The Mi-24s, by the way, are the helicopters that I'm talking about. And Russia supplies spare parts and maintenance for them, that kind of stuff. The thing is, the focus, I think, has to be on what Russia is definitely doing here and what the Assad people are doing, we already know. Ultimately, at this point, we are definitely dancing in a different direction than the Russians. Does that surprise anybody, Stay with us. More odds and ends coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold, or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We talked about that the other day. A hoax is a hoax is a hoax. And there have been some big ones over the years, but the Coast Guard really had a fast one pulled on them. The Coast Guard suspended the search for 21 people who abandoned ship after supposedly an explosion Monday on a yacht off the coast of New Jersey. At this point, is there any doubt that this was a bunch of nonsense? Wonder if it's really sad when you see the pictures, though, because, man, a lot of resources were pulled out to try to help the people who were involved in this so-called incident that apparently didn't happen. And the idea is this rescue mission went underway when they got an emergency radio transmission around 4:30 or so Monday from a boat calling itself Blind Date. The caller reported the yacht was carrying these people. Seven were injured. They sank 17 nautical miles east of Sandy Hook. An explosion destroyed the electronics and the GPS. The caller said all passengers had made it onto life rafts. So here's the resources that went out. The Coast Guard deployed two boat crews, four helicopters in this search. You had response units from the NYPD. You had the fire department. You had the New Jersey State Police. You had additional people on that scene. You had about 200 first responders that were at they set up a mass casualty station, and there was no casualties. Hours of searching, rescue crews, no signs of any distress in the water. There was no explosion. Oh, can you imagine how hot some people were? I want you to hear some of the sound of the supposed location, the call to the Coast Guard, and then the, you know, the life jacket scenario. Take a listen.
We've had an explosion on board. That's why we're taking on water. I'm in about 3.5 feet of water on the bridge right now, so I'm going to stand by as long as I can before I have bail. 1-6. So the electronic array is down. I'm on a solar-powered radio right now. Our last known position was 17.5 miles due east of Gateway National Recreation Area, Sandy Hook Point, I believe it was. All souls do have life jackets. We have beacons on board. The rafts.
Vessel looking for Tobo U.S.
Roger, Coast Guard. Give me about 5 minutes. I've got to holler out to them. I'm dealing with second and third degree.
Wow. Matt, doesn't that sound real to you? What does that sound like, people? Doesn't that sound like a... It's pretty good hoax. Sounds pretty real.
That sounded very real to me.
Very. He said his voice sounded sincere, didn't it? Not like some... Not some like people in the background prompting him, or just
right.
Even the voice sounded natural, like, oh, here's the description, you know, well, here's what's happening. Sounded like it was a real thing.
Yeah, definitely. I'd fall for it, I guess.
I'd fall for it, too. You know how much it costs? 10-hour search, $88,000. No boaters, no nothing. So here's the deal with faking a distress call. The penalty is 5 to 10 years in prison. You probably figure they wouldn't get the 10 years, but $250,000 fine. And when it's all said and done, they're thinking maybe over $100,000. Wow. And this is a 33-foot sailboat that was sinking. That was the description. What's interesting is, yes, we know there's hoaxes and people do stupid things. Look at all the calls, for goodness sake, to 911. But bomb threats, sham sinkings, that kind of thing.
What benefit do you get out of doing that?
I don't get it.
I mean,
I don't.
There's the old, you know, pulling the fire alarm or calling in a bomb threat before your big test at school. You know, I've heard that. I haven't done it, but I've been at school when things like that have happened. What benefit do you get out of this?
None. What is that?
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. If you were trying to pull something off, like to say, hey, look what I can do, and the amount of people that would respond.
It doesn't seem like there's a monetary gain.
No.
It doesn't seem like, I don't understand where this person's coming from.
I don't
either. What's the purpose
either.
Behind it?
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I don't understand what they purposely think they're gaining by doing this, by calling that in, other than they're having a great laugh over some brew somewhere with all of the attention this has gotten nationally because of the amount of responders. And they're looking into this. And when I say they're looking into it, the FBI is looking into it because, you know, now they have infuriated the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Jersey. And you got all these people who are trying to find who made that call, who try to find out who made that call. Boy, oh boy, they better hope they don't get caught because they really, really want to prosecute somebody. Whew. What they get out of it, I do not understand either. And here's the other part of it. The Coast Guard says that they responded to more than 60 suspected hoax calls in northern Hudson River, that area, that region. And probably the biggest one they got was a sailboat, same thing, sinking. And they did a search, and, of course, they didn't find the person. So this has happened before. This is the same kind of deal. People on this yacht supposedly disappearing and no trace of them whatsoever, no life rafts, none of that. So it's definitely made up. And you would think that, man, they are hot to get them. And good luck trying to cover that up. Oof. Because once they got you, they got, you know, with voice recognition and everything else, better be somebody who's very, very far away. This, unfortunately, is not a hoax. It really has rattled still Penn State to the core and just way too many people. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk with Judith Barr, the ATN head shrinker. great lady out of the East Coast who has helped many, many people overcome a lot of things. She always believes that there is hope and there is a way to heal. She's going to talk with us about what about the family and the other people surrounding somebody who has been sexually abused, because you're hearing all this graphic testimony over what's going on with Jerry Sandusky, the coach who's facing all those counts that he had sex with these young boys and whatnot. And so Mike McQueary was a key witness in this trial, and his testimony has been pretty hard to reconcile. They say he was on the prosecution's witness list, but hadn't been expected to testify until Wednesday at the earliest. And he testified on Tuesday, and he flat out said he had no doubt that he saw Jerry Sandusky having sex with a young boy in the team showers. And of course, Sandusky denies all 52 counts, alleging that he abused 10 boys over 15 years. And two grand jury reports accuse him of having used his connections to one of the college football programs to groom the boys who he met through his charity, Second Mile for Troubled Children, for sexual relationships, and just a sad state of affairs. So Judith Bard talks about that with us. Also coming up, we're going to introduce you to this awesome guy who Father's Day is a handful of days away. He spent time with his son climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and talks about what that was like and how they got the chance to do that. He's a travel writer, and he has some interesting things to say, one about being able to do that and what you see along the way, but also that transition, like that long fishing adventure, something that you get to go and do with your father. And he's a guy who was divorced and wasn't able to always spend a lot of time with his son. So he's going to talk about that. His name is Tim Ward, and he's got a book out that's flying up the charts, and it's about this very thing, about the bonding experience of climbing. I said to him, my father wouldn't be able to make it maybe half a mile. It's that. I think we all have to help him at this point. I don't see it. I don't think he ever would have done it. But the story is sweet and touching, and that's coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient-dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best-tasting food you can buy. To celebrate the beginning of summer, you can save 20% off their already affordable prices. This offer ends on June 20th, so take advantage of the summer savings now. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More of the best for less guaranteed.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Well, with Father's Day coming up this weekend, I happened to come across a story about this travel writer, Tim Ward, and his son, Josh. Check this out. They did a trek to the roof of Africa. Can you imagine? I've always wanted to do that. But imagine the bonding experience that the two of them had. And now, Ward is a very well-known travel writer. You might have heard of him. He's the author of Zombies on Kilimanjaro. And that's the story of his, he and his son's journey up to the tallest mountain in Africa, like I was just saying. And I'll tell you what, I can't imagine doing this with my father personally, but now that's a daughter and a father. I think he could go 1 mile and then that would be it. He'd say the drinks are on me and we're going to have to go in the opposite direction. But wow, what a gas it must have been for the Wards to be able to do that. We have Tim Ward in our virtual green room. He joins us now. Hey, Tim, thanks for coming on to share your story.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here to spend some time with your listeners. Thank you.
So how did this all start with Josh? How did you, how did this come together that you decided you were going to do this?
You know, when he was a little kid, he and I used to do some adventure vacations together. We went, river rafting in British Columbia, and we once went to a safari in South Africa. And then, you know, he hit his teen years, and he and I sort of drifted apart. But the time this story starts, he's just finished his first year of college. I found myself with a job assignment in Nairobi for a couple of weeks. Before taking that up, I said, hey, Josh, do you want to come with me to Kilimanjaro? It's literally just next door from where I'm going to be. So I offered to buy his plane ticket over, and we met at the Kilimanjaro airport. And there we were, ready to go. So it was just fortunate that I got out there. But it was also a real new thing for him and I to do, a trip like this sort of as man-to-man instead of as father and child. And that's, frankly, you know, the adventure of climbing the mountain is one thing, but the adventure of doing this with my son, who's no longer my kid, but who's really changed into a man, that was, you know, the real transformative part.
I would imagine the planning part was pretty cool because, you know, there you're getting excited. You know, it's that anticipation thing. Obviously, the journey itself and everything that happened along the way. But was that when it all started, you know, the idea that, hey, we're going to do this. Here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to bring. Did you have a lot of going back and forth email-wise and conversations about it?
Yeah, that's right. Now, he was living in a different place than I was. He was off at college.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, most of it was virtual planning. You know, we really had neither of us, well, we kind of knew what to expect because you hear this is the most amazing thing on earth, but you really don't get it till you're there and you're sort of facing, you know, at the end of our first day's trek, we sort of got to where we could see the mountain for the first time. You just see this huge, huge volcano. It's like, right, 19,000 feet above the African, you know, savanna below. It's the tallest freestanding mountain in the entire world. And, you know, when Josh and I came upon it, you know, after going all through all these foothills, you finally see the mountain in the far distance still. And Josh said to me, quoting the Lord of the Rings, "The trail to Mordor on Mount Doom."
I love that. So when you're on the path and you're going along, what was the scariest thing about this in the middle of the trip? I mean, come on, it couldn't have been easy to do this even if the two of you are in great shape.
Yeah, there are a couple of different kind of scary things. There's the altitude sickness. Now, when you climb to that high an altitude, your body's not built for it. It takes time to acclimatize, and indeed, almost half the people who try to climb Kilimanjaro end up turning back because they get some form of altitude sickness or another. In its milder forms, it can give you headaches, nausea, dizziness, but in its most severe forms, it can fill your lungs with fluid and you basically drown in your own juices, or it can affect your brain and you can go unconscious. So people do die every year on Kilimanjaro. That's a real risk. Your guide's job is to sort of help you take it slowly, and they monitor you to make sure that you don't tip into the danger zone. But you have to be aware of that. And Josh got whacked with headaches pretty badly for much of the climb. And I tell you, I learned to really respect my son for his ability to keep pushing through that kind of pain. The other risks are more sort of traffic accident like risks. There are rock slides every now and then, right? It's a big mountain.
Yeah.
You know, and if those rocks are heading your way, well, I can tell you one time when we were crossing a valley and we suddenly heard this sound like thunder. We looked up and you could see these rocks far, far away rolling down the valley. And we looked around and there are these huge, like house-sized boulders where we are, right? We're walking between them and I'm thinking, holy crap, this could be it. And I turned to my guide and I said, you know, Fred, his name was Fred. Fred, should we worry? And he turns to us and he says, in Swahili, Hakuna Matata. You know, we've heard that phrase, right? That's from The Lion King. But that's
yes.
What people say in East Africa, in Swahili, which really literally means no problem. The thing you have to realize is, to a Tanzanian, no problem means there's nothing to worry about. Either it will miss us, and there's no problem, or it will kill us, and there's no problem.
Oh, that's great. When you finally get to the roof, the so-called top, what was that like? What was it going toward the summit, making it all the way?
Yeah, you know, you have to imagine, people do the final climb up the cone of the volcano at night. So we start at midnight and we arrive at dawn. And they do that mostly because it's safer, because you're not likely to get rock slides at night, because the sun is not heating the rock or causing the ice to expand. So you do this climb at night, but when you arrive at the top, the sun comes up, and you get to see this amazing sun through this thin, thin atmosphere. You have to be really sure you're wearing good sunglasses, right? Because that sun just burns you. It's so bright. It literally turned everything yellow at the top of the mountain. And then you sort of dazed by the sun. You look around and you've been going in darkness for this whole night. It's suddenly this, you're in a world of white. It looks, you know, there's glaciers. There's giant ice, look like beings, right? These huge frozen masses of ice that are, you know, thousands of feet wide and 100 feet deep, and you're walking right in their midst. And what you can't help noticing also, though, is that they're shrinking. You can see how they shrunk back from the edge of the volcano. I mean, Kilimanjaro is sort of evidence of climate change in our midst. When you go, you see that these glaciers are retreating, as are all tropical glaciers. So it's this funny kind of wake-up call to what's happening in our world, right in the middle of the most spectacular, amazing, dazzling vision that you can imagine. So yeah. It was absolutely stunning.
We're speaking with Tim Ward, travel writer, and he's got a great book out. I love the title, Zombies on Kilimanjaro. I mean, kudos to Tim and his son, Josh. They go all the way up Roof of Africa. So, Tim, how long did this take? How long did it take from the time you get up, back, all that whole thing?
Our trip was 7 days and six nights on the mountain. So you're climbing up for virtually 6 days, and then down, there's a short route down that you can do in just a day. Now, people can do it shorter, but if you do it shorter, you run into more chances that you're going to get altitude sickness. So going a little slower, taking a little longer is actually the surest way to the top. And that's why we took the 7-day trek.
And now that you did this trek, do you have others in mind? Are you thinking of doing another eventually?
Yeah, I've loved the mountains all my life, and I would love to go with Josh to Machu Picchu in South America, the ancient Inca capital. So that's for me somewhere in the future. He's saying Australia, but I tell you one thing that's really wonderful. It is great to have a buddy when you're a man in your 50s. It's great to have a guy who likes to travel around with you who's 20. They see the world so differently than we middle-aged folks do, and I'm so fortunate that my son and I had this great bond together, that it's easy for us to travel and we enjoy each other's company. And a lot of that happened because on Kilimanjaro, I learned to let go as a parent and really accept that he was a man. And he learned to let go of some of the grudges he held against me as a child, right? You know, we didn't have a perfect family by any means. I divorced his mom when he was only 2 years old. And, you know, she and I lived separate, and he went back and forth between our two households. But, you know, doing something like this can really bring you close. And I feel like a lucky dad.
Boy, no kidding. So well said. What a great Father's Day present. Is this, because you've traveled all over the place, you've written about wonderful places. Is this one of your favorites?
Definitely. There's nothing like Kilimanjaro. It really is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And it's also an opportunity to travel to part of Africa that's relatively safe and that's reasonably prosperous, because Kilimanjaro brings so much tourist wealth to this part of Tanzania. People have a much better life than they do in parts of Africa that are still quite poor. So it's great to be around a place that's thriving, that's prosperous. You know, our guide spoke fluent English and was wise and funny and smart, and shared what his life was like in growing up in Tanzania as a Tanzanian kid. It was a great experience of coming to understand a whole different culture and a whole way of being.
Very cool. So glad that you shared with us. If people want to pick up your book, can they get it on Amazon?
They can. And the easy way to do that is to go to my website, where I have a sort of a buy now button, and that is simply zombiesonkilimanjaro.com. You can also get it in bookstores. Go to a Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. They should have it. If they don't, they can order it in pretty quick.
Awesome. Hey, Tim, thanks. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day, Kate. Great being your guest.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Too often on the show, sadly, we're talking about terrible stories where we're talking about abuse, like this Jerry Sandusky thing, the coach of Penn State, one of the assistant coaches, and now that ongoing trial and all the testimony and the victims, you know, testifying and whatnot. And what about their family, though? What about the people who suffer because of being with the person who's abused or being with somebody who was abused? You know, we're all interconnected. It's that whole touch tone thing, the 6 degrees, the 1 degree of separation, if you will, and how that moves into the future. Who better to talk to about all those aspects, as I call the touchstones, then Judith Barr, who is a psychotherapist that we just adore on this show and the author of Power Abused, Power Healed. You can catch her stuff on HuffingtonPost.com. Great commentary always from Judith on subjects, things that are happening, and how we move forward beyond some of this stuff. Judith, good to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much, Kate. I'm always glad to be with you.
What is it, you know, and this is really what I was thinking about a few days ago. What about the people who are married to the adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse? What is it like for them? That has got to be just a rough road, and trying to be empathetic and all the things that they go through. I think somehow they get lost in all of this, or am I wrong?
I don't think people talk about the partners. Usually they talk about the people that were abused as children. And I think what I want to say first, Kate, is It is possible to heal when you have been sexually abused as a child. And it is possible to be a partner of someone who has been sexually abused as a child and to learn about what it's like for that person, but to also look at what is that triggering in you. And I think that also gets lost. I've talked to people who were just about to divorce their partners and discovered their partner finally acknowledged or remembered that they had been sexually abused, and it started to change everything. And then what the partner could do is look at what was being triggered in them. And it's different for different people, but if you understand that two people that are connected together that closely as two partners, they are all going to have their triggers from childhood. They're all going to have pains and wounds that are evoked by their partner. So let me say some of the things that partners experience and ask me questions as I go along.
Mm.
I think one of the most central ones that partners have talked to me about is the pain of not being trusted, because someone who was sexually abused as a child does not trust. It is too terrifying to trust. And so for the partner to not be trusted, even if they're exquisitely trustworthy, that's really painful. And if they have any place in them where they're not trustworthy, then that's going to be evoked, and they're going to have to deal with that being evoked in them and being called to heal that in themselves.
So how do you, if you're the partner, what do you do? What advice would you give to somebody in that situation? I bet there are a lot of people that have been in that situation. You mentioned it, the people that almost divorced. So what do you do?
So are you talking in general?
The partner, yeah, in general.
About not being trusted?
Yeah, not being trusted.
Okay.
What do you do about that?
So if your partner doesn't trust you, and if your partner consistently is suspicious and worried and wondering if, you know, and digging down into details to make sure they know if what you did was trustworthy or not, what you need to do is first understand that is a huge impact of having been sexually abused as a child. And then to look at yourself and get the help to find out, is there anything in you that's being triggered around not being trusted? Are you exquisitely trustworthy and it's just downright painful? Or is and you've never not been trusted before, and does it hurt? Does it make you scared? Does it make you angry? And if it's, you know, we've talked about this before, the intensity of your feelings is greater than, say, a 2 or 3, that means something in you is being triggered, probably from your past, from your childhood. If you're being triggered about not being trusted and you're not a particularly trustworthy person in some ways. I mean, none of us is perfect.
Right.
And if you're not trustworthy in some ways, you need to look at that. And part of having a partner who was sexually abused and who doesn't trust is to really become the most trustworthy person you can. Not that you can prove to them that you are trustworthy, but just that that's a sign for you. That's like a Geiger counter for you to do your own work with your trustworthiness. And then when you're not so triggered, you can help your partner, and you can suggest your partner go get help with a therapist and work on their issues of mistrust. It's really a back and forth between the two people.
And, you know, you're really delving into this. You formed a group for partners of adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And so you're learning, I'm sure, as you're a person who's super intelligent and you're always, like the rest of us, trying to learn as much as possible. And you're, you're wonderful at that because you have shared that on the airwaves with us over the years. When, as you've been exploring all this and you're looking at the whole healing process, would people be surprised to learn just how rampant this is?
I think people would be really surprised. I just wrote a blog post on my blog, Polypsych, called, I don't even remember exactly what it was called. It was something to the effect of, we're not willing to know.
Right.
And I think what happens is, I think sexual abuse, like many other things, is normalized, is turned a blind eye to, is frightening to people, and they just, and what's happened is by pushing it away and normalizing it, it creates it more and it haunts us more. And I think so many things in our society today, pornography, sex slavery, prostitution, sexual abuse that's coming out into the open, sex addictions, all those things I think really at the bottom are due to sexual abuse in one form or another that has not been dealt with, not just individually, but by our society. And it's not something that we can just punish. That doesn't make it go away. It's not something we can just make laws about. Laws doesn't make it go away.
Yeah.
It has to be healed.
So is the good news that there are more conversations now about this? That this is, you know, maybe now that people are willing to explore this and talk about it, and there isn't, and you know, there still are a lot of people who are not sharing, as you said, not wanting to know. But are we starting to see that maybe we're heading in that direction? We're seeing a little bit of that?
I think the good news, you're right. I think the good news is that it is coming out into the open, and
yep.
It's being called scandals. But the fact is the abuse, the wounding, the consequences are coming out into the open. So there are conversations, and it has to come out into the open before it can be healed.
And this really is, it's like, you know, you're the author of Power Abused, Power Healed, and you mentioned there at the top that you can be healed. But this is really one of the worst abuses of power, isn't it?
This is a horrendous abuse of power. It takes a huge, huge commitment to stay with it and heal it, but it is possible. I have worked with people for years who have been sexually abused, who have really been committed to healing it in their lives and freeing themselves from the terrors, from the paralysis, from the fears of people, from the fears of trusting people, from the fears of connecting with themselves more deeply. And they have, session by session by session, done the work, worked with it in between sessions, and the healing is possible. It just takes patience and a real commitment and a really good therapist who isn't afraid of it.
Perfect way to end this. Judith says there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. Check out her website, powerabusedpowerhealed.com. Judith Barr, always a pleasure. Keep fighting the good fight, as it were. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Kate. Thanks for having me.